Okay, everybody. My name's Luke here. I'm from UGA. I'm at the Tifton campus. We worked on mapping of infield cotton fiber quality and utilizing the John Deere Harvest Identification System. I know some of you guys may have been in the engineering sessions earlier yesterday. You've seen some of this, but we're going to dive deeper in a little bit more of what we did specifically at Georgia. I worked on this with Dr. Porter, Dr. Raines, Dr. Snyder, and then, of course, Mr. Edward Barnes. All right, so first off, John Deere's Harvest Identification, or HID. This is a subscription-based software or system that can be utilized on the CP on either the cotton pickers or strippers of John Deere, the 770-60s or the 690 models. So this utilizes the radio frequency identification, or RFID, on board that machine. It is actually using the unique serial number given by TAMA on their round module wrap. Either, as we see now, you have various colors being yellow, pink, blue. So we were talking yesterday about the greens, blacks, just the various colors they have now. With that, the HID actually gives 18 points of data on each of the modules. Some of these things can vary all the way from module creation, either module creation and drop latitude and longitude. Gives things such as weight, which they've had some issues with, but hopefully here now with some more testing, they will start to fix that. And then, of course, the timestamp of the actual module creation. So with that, radio frequency identification, so RFID, it's 24 unique characters that are used to identify. It can be any product. Obviously, they've used this in all sorts of markets, as now we're starting to see it with cotton. Each module, even whether or not you have the HID, any of the round modules, you'll have either of these here. This will actually be more of like a QR code that you can scan with a 2D barcoder, while this here is actually your RFID tag. How this works is the RFID reader. The reader will actually send a radio signal into the tag. The tag will then transmit back, and then, of course, the reader will interpret that. So the one great thing about it, as opposed to many things nowadays with labeling, is you don't have to have direct sight. I think our reader was plus or minus 3 meters, so I did have to be closer to it, which helped for us because then there was not as many duplicates or any errors with it, and we made sure we got it. But then at the same time, you didn't have to be directly on it. I didn't have to scan that barcode. So our hypothesis really with this is that fiber quality can be tracked, mapped, utilized on a per-module basis, and then take that back and create field decisions with it. And so our objective really is to demonstrate how the HID system can be used for mapping these module fiber qualities at the field level. So here's our study locations. This is kind of a newer technology. It's not been very quickly adopted. Alone in Georgia, we only had 4 growers in the entire state that have the system. 3 were logistically best for us. The 3 that are bolded there in Bluffton, Colquitt, and Iron City were all roughly around the 2-hour away from us, while as the Rome was, he's sitting probably 5 to 6 hours away. So for logistics purposes, we didn't go all the way up to Rome, but obviously here are 3 locations and our 3 fields with the respective gens that we worked with. So some of the materials that we worked with, we used our Trimble Nomad handheld with the RFID attachment. A bit of a different system. I know they have done RFID tracking of these modules before. They did it in Lubbock with USDA. They used a little bit nicer one, so this is more of just an attachment, and it worked very well for us. Still gave us pretty much the same results that it was giving them. I had had a nice, accurate location given on the GPS side. Also with that, you need the My John Deere account, and you need that linked with your growers, so then you can get that data back from them. Also, we use the module scale, as you can see there at the bottom. We use that to, you know, for calibrations prior to harvest. And then, of course, I wanted to go ahead and try out, similarly to what they did in Lubbock, we used an Android tablet, we had a little Samsung tablet, that we used the RFID module scan application, which was more or less this is a simpler alternative to the RFID. It's a little cheaper. You're not getting quite as precise GPS locations as we later saw with pulling it into ArcGIS. There was a little bit of difference. But for the most part, it was a cheap, simple solution. Only a few quirks with it that, for the most part, can be pretty easily mitigated. So our methods with this, first off was us finding them. We had a very big help with either extension agents or some of our deer people around the state where we were finding them. But first with that, we then calibrated each machine to make sure, you know, our yield tracking was correct, because that's a big thing we're also using. With that, each model then produced, and we would then go out, label, and scan with both the reader and the application there both ways. With that, then we would then move it. They would then get moved to the gen. As with that, we would talk with the gens, trying to find out when all the modules would reach to the gen, just so we could travel down. There was a lot of to and from traveling, I will say, many miles spent in the Ranger. With that, we then would travel to the gen, and each gen's obviously different. Each location had their own way of recording, so we would then have to record their labeling system with our labeling system just so we can make sure everything flowed properly. And like I said, we would just match those up for our records. So again, next after that, after they would get ginned, we'd wait, we'd finally get the fiber quality back. We then went and manually averaged all the grades for each bale that was linked back to each module. And I put that in a large Excel sheet, which we'll see here shortly. With that, then, using the timestamp that the HID file creates and the yield map that the machine creates, we were able to find which points accurately pinpointed for each module. So as you can see, example here, FID 0 to 1991, that was our module 1. That was points 0 through 1991 was our first module, and those points would represent it. And then through that, we would then assign the fiber quality data to each point of that module and then import it into ArcGIS. And so here, actually, the image here is the yield file that would come out of as the view from my John Deere, also showing the HID where all the balloons there would be where your modules were dropped and created. So with that, our results and discussion, as you can see the top here, this is the HID file. In the middle, there actually is the grading. I went ahead and I took a picture of our master file, but as you can see, it has some of the various different categories there, being the ID and the serial number, but then has things such as the timestamp, the drop and creation, latitude and longitude. It even keeps track of weight, moisture, if you have the upgraded subscription, things of that nature. And then, of course, on the bottom, that was our fiber quality assignment, where each point, as you can see, all has the same there, would then go down to whichever points represent each module, and, of course, all the different grades. So now we're going to start looking into some of the maps that were created. So this yield file was actually pulled off of the My John Deere and then imported into ArcGIS. So this was a 167-acre field in Colquitt, Georgia, that we used for our mapping purposes for this time. So here's one of our very first ones that we kind of came out with, was the Micronair. As you can see, there is a little bit of variation across it, due to the short time of when we got the data back in and then were able to create the maps, our scales don't exactly represent industry standards, which we'd like to eventually look at, because as you can see, as our top one is 44.8 and the bottom is 46.3, is that any difference in the actual industry scales? That's what we have to look at next. So again, length is another one we looked at. Here again, you're seeing a little bit of variation across the field, and as you can see up, we had a little bit higher elevations at the top in some of the areas. We had some lower spots. So it was a nice field that had a little bit of variation across the soil type and elevation. So strength, we'll go over why this looks this way here in just a second. Again, another one of the parameters that we were looking at. Yellowness, of course, and then reflectance. All of those are pretty important in industry standards for creating the grades. So really with that, our summaries, some of the challenges that we face. This is a first year project. Us and NC State are both, Jason and Enrique both are also working on this as NC State. And so we're kind of the four starters in this. So this was a lot of challenges. There was a lot of going in of, I don't know. So we had some hiccups along the way. Some of the things were, the different labeling and tracking systems due to the gen. You'd have to come up with a site specific way of figuring out, okay, this is the way we're going to track it. Some of them use UGA in front of it. Some of them just wanted to do numbers. Some of them did it by loads. Some of them's loads were different sizes. So it created a little bit of challenge. right now, it's a very manual and intensive process. I sat down for many hours, averaging all that in, putting in all the data. It took a long, many hours looking at the computer screen. So one of the future parts is we're hoping that we can possibly automate that, either do some type of simple programming or work with somebody on making that not so manually intensive. Another one, the procedural flaw that we actually had that I ran into in one of my three was you needed to check the machine's RFID reader prior to the harvesting. He had actually harvested some before, and it ran into some problems because we then got all the data from all our modules, but it did not track the serial number or the module ID. So I had no way of saying that module is this module, which caused us to kind of lose data at that point. And then lastly, another big challenge, it's a very large quantity of data being generated. As you could see with that strength file or that strength image there, it didn't, ArcGIS took a long time to load. All these maps probably took 5 to 10 minutes to load up on ArcGIS alone, so we're kind of maxing out that program. But at the same time, we are also, it's just a lot of points, it's a lot of data, it's a very slow process. So one of the great things that actually Jason and Enrique did was they ended up creating Travel Pass, which is where we definitely want to go from here. It limits down, instead of having point zero through whichever one, it will then just be one path representing that module. So in our case, it would have been 90 travel paths through the field, which would have allowed a little bit easier data flow. So some of our future research is obviously continue mapping, continuing to see what we can do with this, continue doing it around the state, seeing if there's any other producers around us that we can work with. And then, of course, correct procedural mistakes. One of those, we lost some data this year that would have been really crucial, and it was a simple mistake that could have been hopefully avoided, but it's always a learning process with a new project like this. Some of our acknowledgments, of course, I had a lot of help from UGA. Some of our industry, Cotton Incorporated, is a big funder, so we greatly appreciate them, and John Deere. And then some of the individuals that I kind of got to reach out to, I greatly appreciate them. I had some Deere guys that were very helpful in answering questions, and they were very quick, and it was great. So, any questions?
We've got several minutes left for questions.
Yeah. We're calibrating the yield monitor on the picker. Yes, sir. So with it, it's just a simple. It's simply in the field. It's they would then bring it in. They would we would have to go get the module from the field or wherever they put it at. They would record what they had, and then we would weigh it on our end, and then just input it in, and it would have that correction factor corrected whichever way. Typically, the weighing scales were typically a little bit higher, or their weighing scales on John Deere's end was a little higher than ours, so it was helping correct that factor. Yes, sir. That it does change by the machine, definitely. It just depends when it was calibrated last. I mean, some of them, when I told them I wanted to calibrate it, they were super excited because they had never done it. So one of those, we as scientists and engineering community, is kind of a big deal. We love to calibrate everything, and they don't typically always like to take the time. So they were happy to do it. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
So it kind of sounds like there's a little bit of a data acquisition bottleneck, maybe. Is that, would that be using the portal to access that data?
So with how that works is, yes, we have to go to My John Deere. You have to pull. So typically what it does is it'll generate that HID file. You then have to pull it off of. You have to have that My John Deere access. So if the grower's not willing to do that, then you're kind of out of luck in that point, and they won't be able to be used. So you do definitely have, we do have to rely heavily on the My John Deere to access that data, or it does store it on the machine for a set amount of time, or I'm not exactly sure quite how long their specs are of how it's stored, but you can USB pull all the files off and do it that way. But
it's a process.
Yeah, and so going to driving 2 hours to stick a USB drive in for 15 minutes is kind of a pain. So the My John Deere makes it nice, but you're right, it definitely is a bottlenecking. And with the data, we're hoping to start cleaning it up, making it a little easier to use. So I'm actually new to the ArcGIS world, so it's one of those I took a class with, and so we started using that. We're looking at maybe putting it in the SMS, using that and pulling it in there. So excuse them, they hopefully it we will want to do that eventually and just see how it looks, see if maybe we can fix the data, maybe just see how it's presented in different forms. You're right. Thank you all.